So let's take our Bibles tonight, and we are going to continue on with the study that we've been doing. Continue on with our series on dealing with temptation. It seems like this little handout has helped because there's an awful lot to this. Don't look at your handout when you get it yet, because we'll do that together. All right, tonight we are going to be dealing with temptation again. We've already had, I think this must be our fifth in the series of lessons that we've been doing on that subject. And what you're seeing and what I'm seeing in this, actually, this has been a great help to me personally. I'm really blessed. Let me just, before we start and pray, give you this little illustration on dealing with temptation. At home, I have a bag of tools, and of course, with my shoulder in the shape that it's been in, I haven't had to use it in a long time, praise the Lord. But there's a whole lot of stuff in that bag that I don't need on every little job that presents itself. Okay, I've got a lot of tools for a lot of different situations, but if there's something that just requires a Phillips head screwdriver and maybe a needle nose pliers, there's no reason to pull out the hammer and tape measure and everything else. I might have the bag there, but I'm not going to use all that stuff. When you're dealing with temptation, generally speaking, you're not going to need every bit of what you're learning in all, whatever this turns out to be, eight lessons, all at the same time. You're going to have that bag available. And that sometimes the weakness is going to come because you have forgotten about the cross. And you forgot that you do better when your old man is dead in Christ. Sometimes you're going to find that the problem has been your prayer life suffered. We haven't dealt with that subject yet. And as a result, you became weak against temptation and faltered. And this hopefully will give you a chance to go, was it this, 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 or this? Oh, that's what it was right there. My prayer life's been suffering last week. Start praying again. And find that everything comes back up. It's like fine-tuning the working of an automobile engine. Sometimes one part of it is the problem, and you got to address that part. And this gives you a chance to break it down in pieces so that temptation just doesn't hit you, and you go, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I don't even know how to deal with this. Well, it's going to be one of these things that we're looking at. It could be some of these other things that we've already looked like. It could be that your mind has been soiled. And when the mind has problems like that, and you're carnally minded and not spiritually minded, then you end up with another set of problems. Have a word of prayer and ask God to bless this study and get on with the study, all right? So, Jeremy, pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. All right, now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is the one that I've titled here, but we don't need to start there. We're going to get there soon enough. Tonight, what we're going to look at is in dealing with temptation. In addition to these things we've learned about the world, and that we've learned about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and that we've learned about our spiritual versus our carnal mind and the cross, we also really, really need to understand something. The Lord gets involved in giving you strength against the temptation. And He's a very, very, very important part of this thing. He does not want you to have to fight temptation by yourself. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, isn't that where we were, in verse 15? The Lord gets involved in temptation with you. He does not expect you to deal with this problem alone. And a lot of times what we do is we think over a period of time that we should have gotten stronger in a particular area of our lives because we've been dealing with that sin problem in that area to a point that we ought to be good and mature by now. But may I tell you something? We are not perfect human beings. And we have places where we are weak. And let me tell you something. We cannot beat the temptation alone. And I'll tell you something else. You never will. You never will. You're not going to get so strong, so thick-skinned, so repaired in your mind and your flesh that temptation is not going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem, and it's always going to be a problem. And the first thing that we see in our little handout here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 is that Jesus understands the problem. Jesus understands the problem. He feels it. He knows what it feels like to be tempted in that area. All right? He feels it. You know, God, Jesus Christ is God. And every time you pray, you know what you'll say? You'll say Heavenly Father, or sometimes you'll say Father in heaven. And we get the idea that we're really removed. He's up there and He just doesn't understand what it's like to try to go to sleep at night and can't go to sleep. Or what it's like to be hungry because he had to skip a meal because he had a lot of work to do that day. But no, he does know that because he experienced all of that in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you're tempted, Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see that? So he went through it all. David, I'll take one of those because I'll be able to go to the next one there. Thank you. So he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted like as we are, but he didn't sin. Well, you know something? Jesus Christ lives inside of you today. When you got saved, you received him as your Savior. He lives inside of you. And he can give you strength against that sin because he knows what it's like to be tempted in that area. There's not an area, it says here, was in how many points? All points. All points. You can't look up at him and say, you don't understand how this feels. He does. He does. All right, and then Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, which is just next door, a page or so over from you. Not only does he know what it feels like, he's there to help. I mean, he wants to help. Listen, we'll read the verse here in just a second and fill in the blank together. Look up this way. Sometimes these handouts are good, but sometimes they're not good because then everybody's in the handout and not in the lesson. Okay, so we want to be together on this. And then when I say, okay, let's go look at the verse, then we can look at the handout. Now listen, I'm looking at souls that have lived here a while. When you have lived through something in your life and a person comes to you who has not yet gone through an experience that you've gone through and they say, you know something, I need some help with this. What do you usually do about that? You go, oh, well, too stinking bad. I didn't have anybody there to help me when I went through it, so you just go it alone, pal, and when you come out on the other side, you tell me how it went for you. Is that how you feel about it? Oh, of course not. You are delighted that the experience you had in life is now going to be used for the benefit of somebody else so they don't have to suffer through it perhaps the same way you did. Right? You're just like, when that experience is over, you're like, wow, I had a great day today. I was actually used by the Lord to help somebody there. You know something? If you think you feel good about that, just imagine how Jesus feels having gone through the things that he suffered, now able to use them for your benefit to spare you. Hebrews 2:18, that's what he is telling you. Hebrews 2:18, he says, for in that he himself hath suffered, there's your word, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, you probably don't use that word succor much. I mean, as a matter of fact, today when you use it, it's kind of like, ha, 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 you bought that too, huh? You got that deal, you sucker. It's not that. That's spelled S-U-C-K-E-R, different deal. Pronounced very similar, though, succor. All right, but this word, as you see, I gave you the definition, it means to give assistance in time of need or distress to help. So if you see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire, you pull over, you start handling the jack and all that, take off the lug nuts, change the tire, That's succor, sucker. And listen, Jesus Christ is delighted to be used by you in time of temptation to help you. He wants to. Okay? Now go to Galatians chapter 5. One of the things that he has given us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 is his Holy Spirit. That's the blank there. He has given you the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter, according to John chapter 14, and he comes to take up residence inside of you, to give you comfort, and to do many, 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 many things for you. And he says this in Galatians 5:16, Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you find yourself fulfilling the lust of the flesh, it is an indication that you are low on the filling of the Spirit of God. If you drive a vehicle today that has a computer in it, and it gets close to empty, you may have a little panel that lights up on your dashboard that says you have 25 miles left, which is a bad thing if the next gas station is 35 miles down the road. All right, or you may have a warning light that pops up in your instrument panel to tell you you're getting low on gas. Okay, when you keep fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you know what? You are getting an indicator that you are low on the filling of the Spirit of God. A lot of times, what we do as Christians, a lot of times, is that there are many self-help things out there today. If you have money problems, you can go get something for money problems. You got problems with your diet, you can go get something for diet. If you got problems with your sleep, you can go get something for your sleep. You got problems with your, you know, age-related problems, and they're myriad, then you can go get something, and they got all these things you can take for that to help you get through the complications. Did you know something? Don't be so quick to run to that before you check the spiritual level. Because you may find that, in fact, the problem is not going to be best solved by a patch or a gum or a flan or a thing, but just by simply getting filled with the Spirit of God. You may find a lot more strength there than you think. And now, he didn't say, get filled with the Spirit of God like you do something in the morning. You've got, okay, got all that. Dump it and then go walk. He said, walk in the Spirit, so that constantly the Spirit of God is leading you. He said, you do that, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That area of temptation is going to be harder to succeed. Okay? Here's another, and these are all the Lord. These are all the Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You know the passage real well, the whole armor of God, verses 10 to 18. But notice just a couple of parts at the beginning of the passage. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. We'll just look at 10 and 11. Look what he says here. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? His might. See that? Put on the whole armor. Whose armor is it? Of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay? So he said, you got to be, he said, if you want to be strong, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me tell you something. I know that this generation is infatuated with strength. I know that. You go to the grocery store now and you get into a health section, there is one whole counter section devoted to protein drinks. So you bulk up. Okay? You go through any section of this town and there's a fitness gym. You go through any section of this town and there are kids right now at this hour involved in something athletic. Because this is football season, buddy, they're putting on the pads, knocking each other around. And I mean, there's some kids over here off of Fair Oaks and Stonewall and the Frutters Road over there. They're not even big enough to wear the helmet. I mean, they're little bitty and little bitty shoulder pads. They got the helmet and their heads are going like this and the helmet never moves. And they're all watching NFL and they're all thinking about getting strong and the Olympics are over. And you go around, there are people running right now, this hour of the day, all over town. They're jogging, running, doing push-ups. People are infatuated with strength. Yes? But it's all physical. It's all physical. I wanted to be strong one day of my life. That is all I got right here. What a disappointment. Now, I've had this shoulder thing. I went to the doc today to find out how I'm coming on my wax on, wax off. Get my next little, how much I can go. He goes with it. He does this, and then he does this, and he goes, man, you guys lost a lot of muscle. I said, I didn't have much to start with. I got a long way to go. The Bible says that God taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. He is not impressed with your physical strength. You know what He's impressed with? His spiritual strength. That impresses Him. He said a wise man in Proverbs is strong. And He says, you know what? He says, you'd be better off. James 4, 7 and 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, I just make reference to that. Read those. We're not going to go over there tonight. You read those on your own. You know what He says? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He's not expecting you and me to have the personal strength to withstand the temptation. He says, get down, boy. Be humble, girl. And then let my strength deal with it. I beat him at the cross when I was in my weakest point. Now I am the head over all principalities and powers in the entire universe. Let me do the fighting. Use my armor. Use my might. Use my power. And let me beat him. And that's where we get messed up. We don't run to Him quick enough. We don't humble ourselves quick enough. When my brother was in high school, one of them, he picked fights. But he could do it and do it successfully because his friend was 6'2" and was brawny. And I was talking to him just last year and he said, you know, I cleaned up a lot of fights for your brother. But you know, that's God. In our lives, He has to clean up a lot of fights for us too. He arms you with His might and His armor. Not only that, now 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's not that He's not expecting you to get involved in the fight. It's just that He's expecting you to humble yourself and get down and do that part so He can help you, and His Spirit can help you, and His power can and win. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 13. This is a beautiful verse of Scripture. There hath no temptation taken you. The little thing says He makes a way to escape. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. Okay? That you may be able to bear it. That's what He does. Now, get this. Have you ever boxed yourself into a corner thinking that the temptation you are struggling with is all yours and you're embarrassed about it? And of course, there's nobody you could talk to about it because you don't want them to know you're struggling with that area of temptation in your life. And you shouldn't talk to them about it. This idea of getting into little support groups and we're all going to sit around in church and blab our mouths about the nastiness that goes on that you don't... buddy. That is defiling. When a church introduces that program into its church, what they've just done is they have just open the door to the X-rated testimonies. That's what that's all you've done. And you know what? When people are driving down the interstate and they've got to go from point A to point B right now and there's a wreck on the side of the road, they will nearly wreck to get a good look at the blood. People love defiling things. So you don't bring... You and God are dealing with this issue in your life personally. That's where you ought to deal with it. And God is strong enough, more than any of us, to get that thing knocked in your life, okay? But listen, have you ever backed yourself in the corner when you're thinking about that particular area of your life and think, boy, nobody else would understand if I told them about this? This is something that I'm doing. I'm sure nobody else in the church is having a problem with this. You ever back yourself in the corner like, you don't have to nod. I know you have. May I tell you something? Listen, take comfort in what He said. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You may think that others are not dealing with the problem the way you are. They are. And maybe they're not here, but they're somewhere. Because it's a common problem. Okay? You don't need anybody else to understand but God, because God is faithful. And He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. One more thing about the escape before we go to the next deal. He is not expecting you to hang around. Get out of there. Now, He says, flee youthful lusts. He said in Proverbs, there's a path of evil men, there's a path of evil women. Don't even go near the path. You sit there and fill your eyes full of defiling things, thoughts, magazines, television, internet, all the other things that you can expose yourself. You fill all that in there, and then all of a sudden the temptation comes on hard. And you're like, oh. He says, escape! If I were walking on a path and there was a bear trap in the middle of the path, would I put my foot in the bear trap and let it slam on me and then go, help! I'm stuck! Does that make sense? But that's the way we treat a lot of temptation. Quit putting your foot in the thing. Escape. He's faithful. And you won't have that much problem anymore. Amen. Proverbs 19:9. This just a little statement here. But it's much more profound than the little one sentence that we gave it in our... I said Proverbs 19:9, and it's not. It's Psalm 19:9. Everybody's going, well, praise the Lord, I got ahead of you, preacher, and I couldn't fill in the blank. Well, that's your fault. You should have stayed with me. No, Psalm 19:9. Change that. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean. People say, well, I'm saved now. I love God. There's no need to fear Him anymore. You know what? Get all the fear of God you can. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of His good pleasure. What did He say? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That tell you that we're talking about this. Okay? So when he says the fear of the Lord is clean, let me just tell you, let's get this. A good, healthy dose of the fear of God really helps you in temptation, because you got to know He can smoke you right now for doing it and be justified. Now, I was teaching discipleship, and we got over there in Romans, and this fellow I was teaching, he hadn't heard about the fear of the Lord yet. He read that, and he said, you mean God doesn't want... And I said, no. He started stroking his hair. His lips got blue. He started hyperventilating. He goes, you're kidding. You mean God could punish us? You're kidding. I said, I'm not kidding at all. But I'm saved. I know you're saved, but He don't like it when you mess around like that. He's like, oh, his eyes got big. The whole thing. He got a healthy dose of the fear of God. It changed his life. The fear of the Lord is clean. It'll keep you out of lots of trouble. Lots of trouble. All right, and then finally, one more thing. This is just to really, really encourage you in the fight. James chapter 1. Just like anything else, God's doing the bulk of the work. You're just along for the ride. You just happen to be the territory where the thing is taking place. God will give you a reward. He promises a reward if you get through the temptation, if you endure it. James chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And so there He promises a reward if you can endure that thing. Now it is not a sprint, it is an endurance race. You will deal with this till you die. And if you stay in there and get strong in the Lord and fill with the Spirit of God and look to Him to help you and look for the way to escape and go along like that, stay clean in the fear of the Lord, you're going to come out on the good side of this deal. Here's the thought, and I'll leave you with this as we go into prayer meeting. You're the Wednesday night crowd. And let me tell you something. I love you in a very special way for being here on Wednesday night. I really do. I really do. Because you heard the answers to prayer all over the building tonight. You're taking on a responsibility for the sake of others in this congregation, and God is answering your prayers. But there are other people that know you're the Wednesday night crowd. And you're establishing a pattern in your life. The better you are at dealing with temptation, the stronger they realize you are as a Christian, the more is incentive for them to live closer to Jesus Christ. Listen. How many daddies came home from work, popped the top on a beer can, and didn't want their children to grow up drinking? The children got older and started drinking. How many daddies came home, did something that they didn't want their children to do, but looked over there when the children were 3, 4, 5, and they're already imitating them? You see? Live close to the Lord and far from sin. Others are watching. It'll make a good pattern for them, a good pattern of behavior. Amen? All right. Father, we're sure thankful tonight to be able to study this. And, oh, I am so relieved I'm not in this fight alone. I am so relieved for us that we don't have to deal with temptation and come up with some clever program or look at a doorknob and call it our higher power. We have you. You're real. You've been here before. You know what it's all about, and you are here to help us. God, may we never forget that. Please, we find our greatest victory in you, in salvation, and we look to you, Father, to provide great victory for us against temptation. Please help us to be ever mindful of this. Learn to live according to your words for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.